Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
There was a little boy who lived far out in the country during the 1800s, and as a 12-year-old, he had never experienced a circus. And so imagine his joy and excitement when he saw at school a poster hung up announcing that the circus was coming to a town that was nearby. So after school, he ran home and he talked to his dad, and he says, "Dad, I want to go to the circus." Now, this family was really, really poor. And the dad and the mom, they didn't have a lot of money, but the father could see how important this was to his son. So he said, "Tell you what, you get your chores done early on Saturday, and you'll have money to go to the circus." So the boy worked really hard, and he got all of his chores done by early Saturday, and his father gave him a dollar. And being a poor family, that's the most money this little boy had ever held in his entire life. And his dad said, "Now be careful with this." So the little boy put it in his pocket, and he went to the town nearby to go to the circus. And now realize, this is the 1800s. This is before there was television, radio, you know, online, the internet. You can't Google and see what a circus is about. You can't define a circus. And he never really asked his dad what a circus was. And so what they were having is there was a circus parade where it was kind of an advertisement where the circus marches through town, and then they would go on to the big top. And so the little boy gets into the main street of town, and he's standing there watching, and he's seeing all these colorful costumes and the horses prancing, cages rolling by with the wild animals, the lions and the tigers, and they're snarling and they're roaring. He sees the jugglers going down the street and, you know, people on stilts, and it's just all these different things taking place. Then he sees elephants. He sees, to cap it all off, a clown walking down the street. The little boy pulls out his dollar and hands it to the clown, and he turns around and goes home. That little boy didn't realize there was so much more. Talk about God working, giving a message, and tying it in. God has so much more for you and for me. And there are some times, and I think many Christians, we don't realize how much God has in store for us, and we settle for a parade that is just a momentary glimpse of something that is greater, that gives us wonder, amazement, and enjoyment, and we're missing out on more. And my question is, are you experiencing all that God has for you, or is there something more? Is there something more? We are doing we're going to start our series today, and the key verse that I want to share, and this could probably be our key verse for the year, is from John chapter 10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Say abundantly with me.
Abundantly.
God wants you and I to have an abundant life. I want to welcome all of you here today to Radius, those who are live and those who are online. Thanks for being with us. And my prayer for you is that 2023 will be a year of abundance. Yet if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to take your message notes out, because our theme for 2023, and so this theme is going to be woven through the year, the theme for 2023 is abundance. Our theme is abundance. Every year I pray and say, "God, what's kind of the theme that you want us to focus on?" Last year, do you remember what the theme was for 2021? Lead. That's right, it was lead. One year it was chase the lion. One year it was influence your radius. As I was praying in November, I felt God say, "Craig, I want you to focus on abundance. My people, my bride, my church, they don't understand all that I have for them." And my prayer is that God gives us a revelation over the course of this year of His abundance that He has in store for us. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to specifically look at God's plan for abundance for us. And today's message is entitled, A Life Without Measure. A Life Without Measure. And here's the thing. I don't think we'll ever fully, totally understand the abundant life, because an abundant life, take a look in your notes this morning. What is an abundant life? It is a life without measure. It's a life without measure. That means it's limitless. It comes from our God. Our God is limitless, but you and I are limited, and limited people cannot understand limitless existence. But I know I can have a deeper revelation of it. And so that's my prayer for us, that we all get a greater revelation of abundance today, the next 3 weeks, and over the course of 2023, because I do believe God has more. Yes. Last week, as we talked about prayer, push, pray until something happens, we talked about God having a blank check. When we come to God, say, God, I'm giving you a blank check in my life. Whatever you want to ask for, you can ask for me. And I give you a blank check. Well, this morning, I kind of want to just turn it around a little bit. And I want you to imagine what would happen if you had a blank check bank account. Blank check bank account, meaning you could write a check for anything, for any amount, and it wouldn't bounce. There's always money there to cover it. You want a new car? You want a new truck? You want a new, Ferrari, whatever you want. You got it. You want a new house. You want a vacation house, in the Cayman Islands, Cancun. Hey, you got it. You want Super Bowl tickets because your team is going. You've got unlimited resources. You have a blank check bank account. How many could handle a blank check bank account? But that'd be something. That would be something. You know, if you had a blank check bank account, you wouldn't be scared about any financial problem. If your car was in an accident, it was totaled, you wouldn't worry about it. You're just going to get a new one. You don't worry about repairs. In fact, if you've got a blank check bank account, you don't need insurance. How many would say amen? Yeah, wouldn't that be, that would be nice. No insurance because you can afford it. You have a blank check bank account. If you've got a blank check bank account, you're not anxious. Am I going to have enough to cover my bills this month? How many have ever felt that way at one time or another? Am I going to have enough? Yeah, you wouldn't be anxious about that. You wouldn't feel weak and helpless that I'm in over my head. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. You would not be questioning, well, which of these bills am I going to pay and which ones am I going to wait on? What's most important? You wouldn't be questioning. You wouldn't fear your life is chaotic. You wouldn't feel that depressed that when Christmas comes and you don't have any money to get anything really for your spouse or your kids, you wouldn't feel depressed. Or when your son has gone through 4 sizes of shoes in the past 8 months and you've run out of money because you don't have any more money to pay him, you wouldn't be depressed because you've got an unlimited blank check bank account. Friends, an abundant life is a life without measure. It's a blank check life that's limitless. That's what the abundant life is. And here's the thing. The devil tries to make us feel scared. He tries to make us feel anxious, weak, and helpless. He tries to make us feel questioning and chaotic and depressed. But if we've got the abundant life, a blank check life without measure, there's no need to be scared, anxious, weak, helpless, questioning, and depressed. Amen. Because we live in abundance. In your notes, there's a couple of bullet points. This abundant life, this life without measure, is twofold. It is excessive in quantity. It's excessive in quantity. It's over and above. It's more than necessary. It is super added and overflowing. I have this bottle of water. It's going down as I drink it. If it was overflowing, it's like you put it under the water and it just bubbles over and it keeps going and going. It's excessive. It's exceeding. That's the first aspect of abundance. But there's a second aspect, and that is superior in quality. Superior in quality. It's extraordinary, surpassing uncommon. Because here's the thing. If I was overflowing with battery acid in here, is that going to do me any good? No, if it's overflowing in poison, no, that's hurtful. So you see, an abundant life just isn't excessive, it's superior in quality. And so those are the two concepts that we need to realize. God wants to give us an excessive, superior life. Now, why do we have an abundant life? In your notes, the reason we have an abundant life is because abundance is the very nature of God. Abundance is the nature of God. God is abundant, and that's why He gives us abundant life. In your bullet points, we have these things written down so you don't have to take notes on them. There's abundance at creation and after the flood. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." In Genesis 9, 7, after the flood, God said, "As for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it." We see God is abundant in mercy. Numbers 14, 18, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Hey, if there's anything you've done wrong, if you have sinned, whether you're here in the house or watching online, God is abundant in mercy and He can forgive that. There is no sin too great that God does not forgive, because He's loving and kind, and if we turn from our sin, He will forgive us. It goes on to say in Jonah 4:2 that God is abundant in loving kindness. Jonah said, "I know you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Do you realize God doesn't want to harm you? God doesn't harm us. God is good. We have a saying, we sometimes say, God is good. All the time? Yeah, God is good all the time. He relents from doing harm. The next thing we know about God is that He is abundant in justice. Job 37, 23, "As for the Almighty, He is excellent in power, in judgment, and abundant justice. He does not oppress." You see, justice is doing what's right. And a lot of times what people don't understand is they say, well, God's a loving God, a kind God, but they say, because of that, I can kind of live the way I want to live. But the Bible also says He's abundant in justice. You see, it's like two sides of a dollar bill. You can't have just one side of a dollar bill. You need both sides of the dollar bill. If you get a dollar bill that only has the heads on it and not the tails, you know, the face and not the backside, what is that bill? A fake bill, a counterfeit. And when we have a God who's only love or only justice, we have a counterfeit God. He is both abundant in loving kindness and justice. We also see in Jeremiah 33, 6, He is abundant in peace and truth. "Behold, I will bring it healing and health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth." How many need peace, an abundance of peace in your life? You can stand on that promise right there that God will give you peace. God's path, I love this one, is abundant. His path for you to walk down, to live in, is abundant. Psalm 65, verse 11, "You crown the year with your goodness." Friends, God wants to make this year good. And maybe 2022 wasn't a good year for you, but realize God can work all things together for good, so that even though how bad 2022 seemed to be, God can bring good out of it. He's going to crown your year 2023 with goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. We can have the abundant life because abundance is the very nature of God. Amen. All right, I want to give you three observations about John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I have come to, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to have it more abundantly." So number one this morning, first observation, there's no life without Jesus. There's no life without Jesus. Christ said, "I have come that they may have life." So if Christ gives us life and we don't have Christ, therefore we don't have life. Correct? If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't have life. We have an existence, but we don't have true, genuine life. There's a television show, I don't really watch it, I don't kind of get into that thing, but it's called The Walking Dead. I'm not going to ask how many like that show, but some of you like the zombie thing, you know. And, you know, I have watched it sometimes. It's just kind of funny. But there's one thing the zombies do. They pursue humans. Right? I mean, that's the one thing they do. They see a human. Yeah, they're going after them. They hear a sound, and it's like, oh, over there, I'll go over there, you know. That's what they want. But there's no joy. There's no connection. There's no, like, you know, you've never seen a zombie go up, give me five. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no relationship there. There's an existence, but there's no life, no purpose, meaning, significance, drive, passions, intimacy. It's nothing. And friends, if you don't have Christ, you have an existence. In fact, do you realize the Bible talks about the walking dead? It does. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he's talking to the Ephesians saying, before you were Christians, it says, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world. You were walking through the world, but you were dead. You didn't have life, but he's made you alive. He's given you life. You had an existence, but now you have purpose. You have meaning. You have love. You have connection. You have genuine joy. Everything else is false and phony. It's a counterfeit. It's a one-sided bill. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he was writing about what is life like when you exclude God from your life, he said this, Ecclesiastes 1:2, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And realize Solomon had riches beyond measure. He had power. He had glory. He had fame. He had, if you want to come to the area of sexuality, he could have sex all he wanted with 700 wives and 300 women. 300 concubines. I mean, he could go for about 3 years having sex every night with a different lady. This is a guy who had every physical pleasure, every material thing you would want. And what does he say about it? Meaningless. Everything is meaningless. That word meaningless also means useless, futile, and vain. And when we have a life without God, it's meaningless, useless, futile, and vain. There have been several celebrities who have kind of had almost everything you want. And maybe some of you have heard that University of Colorado has a new football coach, Deion Sanders, former Cowboy, 49er. He won a Super Bowl. He's played in the World Series. And he writes in his book, Money, Sex, and Power, and How They Almost Destroyed My Life. He talks about how he had everything. He could turn on the TV and see himself on commercials, but yet he was empty and void. He bought a $245,000 Lamborghini, and he pulled out of the parking lot. 10 minutes later, he crashed it and wrecked it, trying to take his life because it didn't give him happiness. Friends, this material world is not life. And the devil tries to tell you, just live for all these physical material things, for pleasure, ease, comfort, power, recognition, accomplishment. But without Jesus Christ, they're meaningless, futile, nothing, useless, vain. Jesus is the one who gives us life. You need a relationship with Christ. If you don't have a relationship with God, your life is meaningless. Your life is empty. Your life is hopeless. But there is hope if you come to Christ and realize that you have sinned and that God is abundant in mercy and he forgives sin and iniquity. And if you turn the leadership of your life over to Christ and say, Jesus, you're my leader, you're my king, he will forgive you and give you a relationship with Christ. And in a few moments as we wrap things up, we're going to give you an opportunity to have that relationship with him, whether you're here in the house or watching online. We want everyone to have a relationship with Christ because that's what gives you life. Only Jesus gives us life. Let's take a look at the second thing that we pull from John 10:10, and that is the normal Christian life should be marked by abundance. The normal Christian life should be marked by abundance. Jesus said, they may have it and more abundantly. Jesus gives us life. He says, I came to give you life and that you would have it more abundantly. That's part of the salvation package. When you ask Jesus to save you from your sins so that you don't die and go to hell and spend eternity in hell, he gives you eternal life where you live in heaven, but then he wants to give you an abundant life here and now. He wants you to enjoy his richness. But the thing that we need to realize is that this abundant life is normal. It's not for those who have worked themselves up to a spiritual high plane. Every person can have an abundant life right now. It's normal. Jesus said, I want you to have life and to have it more abundantly. He didn't say, if you do this or if you do that. It was an invitation to everyone. It is normal to have abundance. But here's the thing. Look in your notes. The abundance we are speaking of is more spiritual than physical. The abundance we're speaking of is more spiritual than it is physical. It's not an abundance of material wealth. I know there's times we think the abundant life is if I have health, wealth, prosperity, whatever I want, a life of ease and comfort and pleasure and all these good things happening to me, that's the abundant life. It's based on material blessing, but friends, if that's true, then Christianity is a sham to those who live in a third world country. When I was a youth pastor, I took my youth group to Mexico, and we built a home for a family. Actually, it was for this lady's boys. I was shocked at the home. She had two dwelling places on her property. Her property was smaller than this room, smaller than even half this room. And her house probably would fit. It was smaller than the platform I am on. It was her refrigerator, stove, a little tiny black and white TV, and a sofa. That was her bedroom, and actually the boys' bedroom. They had another little shack that was about three quarters of this that they stored, like a hoe and, you know, some garden materials, some stuff. That was all they had. That was all they had. Oh, there was a water barrel that held water. That was it. And they asked us to build them a home. So our youth group built them a home, a bedroom for the boys, 11 feet by 22 feet. That was where the boys lived. That was how they lived. See, how can we go down and say, the abundant life is prosperity and wealth and all these things, and you say that to any Christian in a third world country? It is a sham if it's about material blessings. Now, does God provide for us and supply for us? Yeah, he does. And really, in America, even the poorest of us, we're richer than most of the world. Amen. We don't realize how blessed we've been. It's also a lie if it's all about prosperity and wealth and that kind of thing. It's a lie to those going through great persecution, tremendous hardship, or deep poverty. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he talked about that when he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. You realize they had persecution and deep poverty, but they still had an abundance of joy. See, the abundance of life is the abundance of soul, not the abundance of your bank account or your accumulation or achievements. Jesus himself, when he talked about abundance in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. He's telling us right there, abundant life is not about abundance of things. And then he goes to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Jesus says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? You know, unfortunately to us, many times, it's not so obvious. It's not so obvious. We get so caught up with the material. But the real riches are spiritual riches. Paul wrote about them in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, when he says, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" He wrote to the Ephesians, who he had just written about, saying, "You were the walking dead. You are dead in your trespasses, walking in them." In verse 7, he says, "In ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." And then when he goes to chapter 3, verse 8, he calls them the unsearchable riches. If you tried to find all the riches God had for you, you can't come to the end of them. They're abundant. They're exceeding. They're surpassing. They're more than you need. God wants to bless us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that are overflowing and superior in quality to any facade the world might have. God wants to give you a rich inner life that will give you real joy. So that if God does bless you to buy a Lamborghini, you don't go drive it off the road trying to kill yourself because you feel life is futile, meaningless, and hopeless. God has so much more in store for us. Don't settle for a parade. Go for the whole show. Go for the whole show. All right. Why do so many Christians appear unhappy? This is in your notes. Why do they appear so unhappy, depressed, angry, and fearful instead of living the abundant life? It's because abounding is tied to abiding. Abounding, having this abundant life, is tied to abiding in Christ. How much time do you spend with God? Do you spend just 5 minutes a day? And then when you're done praying or being in the Word, do you kind of just walk out and forget about God and really don't think about Him the rest of the day? Or do you live in this abiding, constant communion with Him, this relationship? Because you see, abiding is the key to abounding, to having the abundant life. John chapter 15, Jesus said this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much." If you've got a physical Bible and not an electronic one, circle that word "much," okay? "Bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You can flip to that if you want. This is what it says here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy," if you've got a physical Bible, circle the word "abundant" there, "who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The New Testament is written in the Greek language. And so if we would read the New Testament, and you read John 15, what we read, and 1 Peter, when you come to those two verses, the Greek word for "much" is the identical word to the Greek word for "abundant" in those two passages. So you could really say, instead of "you will bear much fruit," you will bear abundant fruit. How do you bear abundant fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? By abiding in Christ. Abiding is tied to abundance. Abundance is tied to abiding. You can't have one without the other. If you are abiding in Christ, you will have the abundant life. And that's what so many people don't recognize. We're not abiding in this constant relationship, fellowship, communion with God. We let the stress and worry of our day consume us, and God slips out of our mind. We let the busyness of our schedules press out time with the Word and prayer, or maybe just, okay, I've had a good time with God, but now I go running through the day 140 miles an hour, And I'm just thinking about all I have to do, and I've forgotten about my Heavenly Father who loves me and cares about me. Or maybe I have a greater passion for some addiction, some sin in my life, instead of God, instead of saying, God, I want you more than I want my sin. Friends, God wants to do more in our lives. And here's the thing. For some of you who may be struggling with different life-controlling problems, I encourage you to sign up for our freedom groups that begin in February. Freedom groups can give you freedom. They can give you wholeness. They can give you victory. They are part of the key to an abundant life. I really believe that. I have found greater joy and greater freedom in my life. I struggle with everything, all right? I struggle with everything. There's always things. But for me, one of my big ones is anger. I've got a temper. Now, you maybe don't know that, and yeah, I cover it up good, but you know, just ask my wife and kids. I can get ticked off easy. I have a short fuse. And honestly, when that happens, a lot of times swear words come to mind, and I want to let them rip. And sometimes I do under my breath. But since the Freedom Course, I have had more freedom and victory in that area. I've also found greater purity in my life. One of the words, as at the Freedom Conference we went through, I just felt God say, Craig, be a one-woman man. Be a one-woman man. And God has helped me have more freedom and more victory in that area. And I love my wife more than I ever have. She's awesome. She's wonderful. But friends, if you want freedom and abundant life, I encourage you, go in the Freedom Group. Now, it's not automatic. I have to keep abiding every day. It's not like, oh, I went through the class and I'm done and, whoo, I have arrived. That's right. I'm bad. No, there's an abiding I got to go through. Abundance is tied to abiding. All right, let's look at number three quickly. The final truth that we can pull from John 10:10 is that the devil does not want us to live in abundance. He doesn't want you to live in abundance. He doesn't want you to live a life without measure. A life that has limitless potential for God. He comes to see, it says John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil knows if we realize the abundant life, the extent of our inheritance, the unsearchable riches of Christ, if every believer lived to the fullness of that, we would turn the world upside down. Our places of employment, our schools, our communities, man, God would be moving like you can't believe. The devil doesn't want that. The devil wants to steal our power, our authority, and our passion for the kingdom of God. He wants us to feel weak. He wants to kill our joy, our contentment, and our peace. And he wants to destroy our souls, our families, our Christian testimony, our church, our ministry. He is out to wreck and ruin us. And he tells us, you're weak. You're not strong. You're not spiritual enough. Why try? You're not good enough. You're not talented enough. You don't pray enough. You're not enough. But friends, if I decrease and there's less of me, and you know what? On my own, I'm not enough. But if I get rid of the part that's not enough, if I decrease, then God increases if I'm abiding in him. And I can have more. I can have the abundant life that Jesus died to give me. We have a picture up here of a tree. And on the left, it symbolizes a scarcity mindset. On the right is an abundance mindset. And if you've got your notes handout, you can take a look at it. Open it up on the right side of the page. We have a chart, a scarcity mindset on the left column, abundance mindset on the right column. I'm just going to read through this. And as I do, maybe if you've got a pen or a pencil, just kind of check off which side do you fall on, okay? Because it'd be kind of interesting when you're done to see what has more checks, the scarcity side or the abundance side? Where do you tend to fall down on? All right, here we go. Scarcity mindset says there will never be enough. Abundance mindset says there will always be more. Scarcity fears change. Abundance embraces change. Scarcity won't offer help. Abundance is generous with others. Scarcity won't share knowledge or resources. Abundance shares knowledge and resources freely. Scarcity competes to stay on top. Abundance collaborates to stay on top. Scarcity says, I need to look good to succeed. Abundance says, if I succeed and you succeed, we all succeed. Scarcity establishes self-worth by comparing themselves to others. Abundance establishes self-worth by comparing themselves to what God says. Scarcity worries about things outside their control, whereas abundance focuses on what they can control, their attitudes, and taking proper actions. Scarcity lives and leads with a victim mentality. The world's against me and I can't do anything about it. Abundance lives and leads with control by taking personal responsibility. Scarcity believes the pie is shrinking. Abundance believes the pie is getting bigger. Scarcity says there's not enough to go around. Abundance says there's more than enough to go around. Scarcity says I can't afford to do X. Abundance says I can afford to do Y instead. Scarcity has a sense of entitlement. Abundance has a sense of gratitude. Scarcity blames others for their failures. Abundance accepts responsibility for their failures. Scarcity thinks small and avoids risk. Abundance thinks big and embraces risk. Scarcity criticizes, abundance compliments. Scarcity holds a judge, abundance forgives. Scarcity talks about people, abundance talks about ideas. Scarcity thinks they know it all, abundance is willing to learn from others. Scarcity acts as a taker, expecting more from others. Abundance acts as a giver, contributing to others. Scarcity secretly hopes others fail. Abundance wants others to succeed. Scarcity takes credit for all their victories. Abundance gives other people credit for their victories. Scarcity operates by from a transactional perspective. If you do this for me, I'll do it for you. It's a tit for tat. Whereas abundance operates from a transformational perspective. I do things to transform my culture, whether you're going to do something or not. I want to be a transformer. It's not that I necessarily get something out of it. Scarcity flies by the seat of their pants. Abundance sets goals and develops life plans. Scarcity promotes only self and accomplishments. Abundance promotes others and their achievements. Scarcity dictates and micromanages. Abundance has openness and trust. Scarcity focuses on what can't be helped. Abundance utilizes what is available and already known. Scarcity sees the glasses as half empty. Abundance sees the glass as half full. Scarcity sees trouble and problems. Abundance finds opportunity and sees victory. Scarcity is negative and pessimistic about life in the future. Abundance is positive and optimistic about it. Scarcity has no prayer, or as we talked about Samson last week, only in emergencies. It's a response to a crisis. Whereas abundance, it's about a relationship with Christ. I spend time in prayer and the Word to have a relationship, and then I continue it throughout the day. Scarcity says, I'm in a bad place. Abundance says, I'm in a good place. Even though bad things are happening, you realize that God has been abundant. He's given you a relationship. He's walking with you, and you can trust Him no matter what. You are in a good place. So how do you live in abundance? If you look at that chart, you'll notice three things are underlined there. These are tips for starting to live in abundance, okay? The underlying things. The first one that we have underlined there is establishes self-worth by comparing themselves to what God says. You and I, what we need to do is realize that we gotta compare ourselves with what God says. We live in a society where on social media, we put up the best picture of ourselves. We project a certain thing. We put all the good things happening, and we compare, and that's what we want. If you compare yourself to what other people have, you will never be satisfied, and you will live in scarcity, not in abundance, because you always want more of what someone else has instead of what God has in store for you. The second thing to abide in Christ is gratitude. Be grateful for what God has given you. You may remember back in November when we talked about establishing a gratitude ledger or a gratitude journal, where we challenged you to write down 5 things a day. I haven't hit every day, but I've been doing that since November, and I have found that that makes a big deal in my life. And if I go 2-3 days where I miss it, I can tell. I think my wife can tell too. It has something about my mindset when I'm not thinking about how God has helped me and He's been there for me. And then the last thing is that prayer and the Word is a relationship, that perceives God's good through the day. I encourage you this year, if you haven't developed a time of regular time with God and you haven't been pushing, praying until something happens, develop that. Begin to learn how to grow, get in the Word. My guys who are in Champions Men's Group, the soap process we talked about, ladies, in your living life to the fullest, some of you took the soap class yesterday, that will help you abide in Christ and take those nuggets that you've mined, those treasures Jesus has revealed, and carry it with you through the day. God has more. He has abundance, excessive, superior life for you and me, a life without measure. How many want more this morning? How many want abundance in your life? Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, you gave your life so that we could have eternal life in heaven and abundant life here and now. You want us to have a life without measure, but so often we're blinded to your reality. And I pray that today and throughout this year, you will reveal to us your abundance, show us how to change, show us what to say no to, show us how to start living out of all that you have in store for us. This morning,
you have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.